Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Maddie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a doctor and a writer, and I have three kids, and I live in the great state of New Jersey.
Oh my gosh. What part of Jersey?
Like central Jersey, like right outside, well, I guess South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, nice.
I'm like unabashedly like proud of New Jersey. Like I love, you know, I've been born and raised in New Jersey, and you know, I know there's a lot of like people that say things about New Jersey, but it's the best state to live in, and I'll fight anybody who says otherwise.
I was 12 years in Jersey, so I feel you.
Understand.
I understand. I was like, I fell in love with New Jersey. I live in Jersey City, by the waterfront when I live in New York. So
awesome.
So I really loved it. It was like such a hidden gem. Like,
yes.
people bash New Jersey and they're like, you live in Jersey. I'm like, dude, it's so freaking nice. I got the views, I got the people, I got the food, I got
right. So you have the best pizza in the nation. Yeah, yeah, like people just don't understand. if you're not from Jersey, you just don't know.
Yeah, the diners. Oh my gosh,
I'm right? The diners. Oh yeah, the diners are amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, I miss New Jersey. It has a little part of my heart. And so what led you to write books while being a doctor, and how do you manage your time?
So I've always loved writing, and I wasn't seriously considering writing a book. I thought it was something I would do after I retired. And I was, it was 2010, and I was pregnant with my first child, and I just needed something to do. I was, you know, we moved into a new house, and my husband was busy with home renovation projects, and I was like, I need to like do something, you know, outside of work. So I signed up for this writing class, and part of the requirement for the class was that you had to be working on a novel. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just start writing something. And then that, you know, what I was working on in that class became my first novel, The White Coat Diaries, which came out in 2020. So yeah, it just kind of worked out. Like, I'm still kind of amazed that that's how it happened. But yeah, here we are.
There we go. And yeah, market a niche of, you know, medical drama, you know, on books, you know.
Yeah, which is so weird and surprising. Like, when I wrote my first book, I was like, there is no way that anybody is going to want to read this who's, you know, not an Indian American doctor, because I was just writing about my own experience. I really wasn't thinking about, you know, an audience for that book at all, because I did not expect it to get published ever. I was just really writing it for myself. And it turned out, you know, there was like a market for it. And I am like still shocked that it sold and it did as well as it did. And yeah, like I feel like medical women's fiction is such a small niche. It's not even, you can't even call it a niche. There's like three people in it, you know. It's like there's not a lot of writers writing medical women's fiction. Like, I think there's medical thrillers, and that's pretty much it, like in the medical romance, I guess, is a thing.
Yeah.
But you know, the type of medical fiction that I was writing, I just kind of was writing something that I thought would be interesting, but I wasn't sure anybody else would want to read. So you know, then I wrote this second book kind of in not totally the same, but a kind of a similar vein, sort of a similar tone and vibe to it. And yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of still a very small niche, and it's interesting and really gratifying to see readers discover this kind of like style of writing and this subject matter, and people who connect with it seem to really connect with it. So that's been really gratifying.
That's really great. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, because how popular is Grey's Anatomy? Like, think about it. Grey's Anatomy has been around forever. I was in grad school, and I've been out of grad school for almost 2 decades, and Grey's Anatomy is still there, you know?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, the challenge that I found is trying to write about medical situations in a way that really, you know, makes them interesting on the page. Cause I think it's one thing to watch like a really good looking actor, like go about their medical day, you know, and like treat patients and drop medications and things. And it's kind of less exciting to read about it, you know?
Yeah.
There's no like super attractive, you know, like doctor to distract my attention from like the mundane sort of daily life in the hospital. So when I wrote my first book, I was like, how do I make this less boring? And it was just like a struggle on every page.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think I can imagine it can make a great TV show, but I think in writing, it can be like how to challenge, how to do this, but trust that the reader is going to be engaged, and like readers are looking for this kind of information. They're looking for this kind of story. You know, there's a market for it.
It's been really cool to like hear from readers, you know, both who are medical professionals and not, who find the stories interesting. And every time I get like a letter from a reader, I'm always like, oh, like so delighted, you know, to like discover somebody else who kind of like vibes with me and like, you know, gets what I'm trying to say. Like that's a really neat experience.
Yeah. All right. So let's chat about At Least You Have Your Health. What is the elevator pitch?
So At Least You Have Your Health is about a gynecologist who takes a job with a chic wellness company making house calls for its clientele of wealthy women. She's drawn into their world of privilege. She finds herself grappling with her own ambition while racing to uncover the truth behind a deadly secret.
More to the real. So in this world, you follow like the wellness, the concierge, medical concierge. What kind of research did you do to figure this world out? Because it might be different from being in a hospital.
Yeah. So I did a very deep dive into both concierge medicine as well as the wellness industry. And it is fascinating. There is, you know, a whole world out there of private concierge doctors and the different services that they offer. It was just really interesting to be reading about during the pandemic. So I wrote this book during 2020. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was at a time where we were having this national conversation about access to healthcare and, you know, who gets healthcare and who doesn't. And it was really interesting to be researching, you know, if you have money, there's like a different level of healthcare you can access. And, you know, in that sense, a different level of health you can access. And, you know, what that means in terms of fairness and equity, it just, there was a lot to think about there. So it was really interesting researching this book.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's definitely interesting to see the level of access, the level of like, in the wellness industry, it's like so wide and so sometimes sexy and at the same time so dark at the same time. Like there's a little bit, like there's so much out there and there's so much misinformation out there too.
Yes. And I think what happens is that the wellness industry plays off of people's fears, right? So I think the entire industry, which is like a $1 billion industry, is based on the idea that, you know, people are afraid of what's going on in their bodies, right? They're not really sure what they should be doing. They don't necessarily trust traditional healthcare, which has left so many people, especially, you know, people who don't come from privilege, it's sort of left them behind. And they're turning to maybe somebody that they saw on Instagram or somebody on the internet or a celebrity, and hearing all of this advice. And it, you know, it makes them afraid, like maybe I should be detoxifying my liver with this coffee enema. Like, I don't know, you know, it's like, there's just too much coming at you. And I think it's very difficult for people to sort out what they should be doing. And, you know, part of the problem here lies with traditional medicine, which is, you know, at its breaking point at this point. You know, our healthcare system is overtaxed. We have burnt out doctors and nurses who don't have enough time to spend with their patients. And that leaves patients feeling like no one's looking out for them, understandably so. And so then they are vulnerable to, you know, whatever information is coming in. And that's like a really dangerous combination. And it's one that I explore in the book.
Love this. Thank you for exploring this, because I think it's important just to think about those topics, and it's important to think about it, how does it affect your life, how does it affect the reader's life, and how does it affect other people's life, you know?
Yeah, it's like none of us will go through our lives without having to access some sort of healthcare, right? So I think it's universal in that way.
Yeah, So, all right. So changing topics. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend?
Yes, I do. So I have four books that I wanted to recommend, and they all have to do with wellness. So the first is She's Faking It by Kristen Rockaway. I love all of Kristen Rockaway's books. She writes funny, smart rom-coms that usually have something to do with the tech world. And this one, She's Faking It, is about a down on her luck young woman who creates this fake Instagram life and starts following this influencer. Demi DePalma is her name. She's a bit like a cross between Gwyneth Paltrow and a life coach who teaches other women how to manifest their dreams. And there's this wellness retreat in the desert where everything goes horribly wrong. And it's hilarious and really insightful look at influencer culture and social media. So I highly recommend that. My next one is This Might Hurt, which is a thriller set at a wellness resort in Maine. It's by Stephanie Roble. And that just came out, I want to say like a month ago. And it's creepy and fascinating and rich with these really flawed and complicated characters. My third one is Nine Perfect Strangers by Leanne Moriarty, which is like the classic, like ultimate novel about an eccentric woman in charge of like a wellness enterprise. And it's fun, spine tingly, maniacal, awesome perfection, and also a really great TV series. And my last one is A Special Place for Women by Laura Hankin, which is about a group of powerful women in New York who run this secret social club, and some of them may or may not be witches, and it's fun and hilarious, and I loved it.
Oh my gosh, I love these recommendations. I really love She's Faking It. That was like such a fun book to read.
Right, all of her stuff is so good and funny and like just smart, like smart rom-com is like my jam.
Yes, you were smart, and it was like fascinating, like, you know, the whole world that she puts together that's based on real life,
you know? Yeah, and I think that Kristen Rockaway herself is from the tech world, so yeah. I feel like she, you know, she really knows what she's talking about.
Yeah. So what are you currently reading?
So I'm always reading like multiple things. So right now I'm reading We Were Never Here by Andrea Bright's the thriller about the two friends. And I'm late to the party on this one, but it's so, so good. And I'm not even a big thriller reader. I get scared really easily, but the story is so well written that I'm trying not to read it too late at night because I get kind of freaked out, but it's really, really good. And the other one that I'm reading, I'm slowly making my way through all of the books of Ann Patchett, who I love. So I'm reading Run by Ann Patchett, which is like her, I want to say like her third or fourth book. But it's a super smart book about race and class. And I love that as well.
Oh, love these. I love these recommendations. So tell us where you can find you online.
So I'm at maddysinha.com, and I'm not a ton on social media these days, but I am like mostly on Instagram at Maddie Sinha.
Awesome. Thank you, Maddie, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome talking to you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.